Brother James has said, and those who were here on this weekend, this past weekend, can attest that we had a wonderful VBS. We were talking about, the theme was faith force. Heroes of godly living. Great series of lessons. Great time together. I want to continue to talk about this idea of faith this morning as we look at some passages from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that were read into our hearing by Brother Terrence this morning. Let me reread just for emphasis' sake, beginning at verse number 3. We'll read 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith, and all your persecution and tribulations that ye endure." Evidence of a growing faith. That's what we're talking about this morning. When we look in our Bibles, there can be no doubt that the Lord wants His children to grow in their faith. Certain scriptures like 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, and first two verses, 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, Hebrews 5 and verse number 12. All of these scriptures teach us that the Lord expects us to grow in our faith. So when Paul wrote to these Thessalonian Christians, the second letter, he commended them for their growth. He thanked God for their wonderful disposition that they displayed. Again, as I shared in reading in verse number 3. Because of their spiritual growth, he and his companions, Silvanus and Timothy, they were able to speak well of them among other congregations of the Lord's church. And church, wouldn't it be wonderful today that if all Christians everywhere could be spoken well of? But in order to be spoken well of, you got to live a well life. It's my aim in this lesson this morning to continue to encourage us all to strive to grow in our faith. If our faith, then, is going to grow as it ought, first of all, we must not allow certain things to hinder the growth of our faith. Since we know it should grow, the Lord expects for us to grow, commands us to grow, we have to make sure that certain things do not hinder our growth. Well, what are some things that can hinder our growth? I want to share just a few of those this morning before I get into the real text of 1 Thessalonians. Many people, many Christians that is, perhaps, do not put forth the necessary effort to grow. Do you not know if you're going to grow, you're going to have to put forth effort to grow? Growth just does not come automatically for the Christian. If that were the case, then one of these scriptures that I already mentioned that indicates that we are to grow. If growth would come automatically, then the Hebrew Christians would not have had a problem with their growth. But it's evident that they had a problem with their growth because the writer says to them in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, "For when for the time you ought to be what? Teachers." That's growth. "For when for the time," he says, "you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." A time had passed, and the writer says, you should have grown. You should have gotten to the point where you could be a teacher. But instead of being at that point, it looks like that you are relapsing, that you need someone to come and teach you again what you should have already learned. You have not grown, basically, is what he said. And so I believe, then, that many do not put forth the effort to grow. I said it takes effort. And the scripture bears that out, because the scripture uses a word called diligence. And that word means work. It means effort, constant effort. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8 through 10. Prior to that, he had talked to those Christians about adding to their faith certain things. And then he says in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give what? Diligence. Put forth some effort, some work, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you can never fall." Again, we sang that beautiful song that Brother Pynchon loved, and I love it too. And the way we were singing sounded like all of us love it. We sang beautifully, even with all of the songs this morning. If we truly then want to make our calling and election sure, it takes effort. We're not automatically going to heaven. We're going to have to do the will of God. And the reason why it takes so much effort, because you know, just as hard as we are trying to go, that old devil is pushing against us just as hard to keep our harder to keep us from going. But we got to work at it. We got to put forth some effort. Again, the Hebrew Christians were encouraged to put forth that effort. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous. He's encouraging them now. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire," he says, "that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto" what? "The end." Just don't put forth the effort for a little while. But we work at this thing. We put forth this diligent effort all the way until the end. That's what the Lord meant when he said, "Be thou faithful unto death." We can't slack up on the job, because again, the devil will get the best of us. So many people don't grow because they don't put forth the effort. There's another reason for lack of growth. Some people will fall victims to discouragement. Some have great beginnings, but they become discouraged along the way. And the reasons may be various. Some may have personal problems that discourage them from growing. Conflicts with other Christians discourage them from growing. Lack of encouragement from others may discourage them from growing. But as we talk about discouragement, and especially discouragement from other Christians, we need to be very careful that we don't discourage others. Because God will hold us responsible if we discourage others. There's an Old Testament example that I want to pull up, if you will, that teach us that God will hold people responsible that discourage other folks. Y'all remember as God's people were traveling to the promised land. And they got to the Jordan. This is found in Numbers chapter 32. And they got to the Jordan there, and there were two tribes that had a lot of cattle. And they said to Moses, "Let us have this land on this side, because this is nice land for our cattle." Moses says, "You can have that, but here's what you got to do. You got to go on the other side and help your brethren to conquer that land." But notice what he says in verse 20 and 23 of Numbers 32. "And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go on before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord." Verse 23 is what we need to take home. "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." In between, what I didn't say was he reminded these people about how their forefathers had come out of Egypt and how those 10 spies discouraged their brethren. And all of these people's carcasses, he says, was going to fall and did fall in the wilderness. He said, "Now you remember that. If you don't go over and help your brethren conquer this land, you're going to discourage folks. And I won't forget that," is basically what he's saying. "You're going to be guilty. You're going to be guilty before the Lord." Well, I would say to all of us, let's make sure that we don't discourage people. Let me do the flip side and say to those who may be discouraged, listen, talking about effort again, the devil wants to use that discouragement against you. Put forth as much effort as you can to say, "I don't care how this brother, how this sister, or how this enemy discouraged me, I'm going to do right in the sight of God because I want to go to heaven." But again, be careful that we don't discourage people, because God is going to hold us responsible. Others become entangled in the affairs of this life, and so they don't grow and produce as they ought to. You know, crops and flowers, they don't grow very well when they are entangled with the briars and the weeds and that kind of stuff. So if we realize and understand that if crops and flowers don't grow well when they are entangled, when we are entangled, we ought to understand that we're not going to grow well either. Jesus says this when he explained the parable of the seeds in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 14. He says, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with what? The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit." Didn't say bring forth little fruit. Bring forth no fruit to perfection. We're in trouble when we don't bring forth any fruit. And so I would challenge us this morning that don't allow the cares and the affairs of this life to entangle us. Don't get so busy working, striving for success in this world until we forget about what God wants us to do. Young folks, don't get so busy in your school activities, in your sports, and on your social media and entertainment and all of this stuff until you don't do what God wants you to do. Wives, don't get so busy with your hobbies, with your clubs, and your shopping and all of that until you don't do what God wants you to do. Husbands, engaged in your stuff until you don't do what God wants you to do. Don't allow these things to choke your growth, because again, the Bible says this seed was choked out and brought forth no fruit to perfection. What then are some evidence, are some signs of Christian growth? Go back to the text that we started with this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other about." Our love for one another, let me put it another way, our increasing love for one another is an evidence of our Christian growth. Paul said, we thank God because we observe, we notice that your faith is growing exceedingly, and your love or your charity for one another is abounding. And notice something about this passage. He says, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abound. Every one of those Thessalonian Christians were growing in that love. What about us, Northwest? Is each one of us? I can't answer it. I can only answer for me. You got to answer it for yourself. But I'm saying to us this morning that each one of us, our charity, our love for one another, need to be abounding, need to be increasing, need to be growing. If it's not growing, if you don't love somebody more and more and more, you're not growing like God wants you to grow. These Christians were growing that God wanted them to grow. It is evident that they took the command seriously to love one another. And I would say to us this morning that we can't love our brethren. When I use the term brethren, I'm talking about sisters too. We can't love our brethren too much. There's no way we can love our brother and our sister too much. Listen to what Paul said to the church in the first letter that he wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Listen to what he said. He said, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Perhaps you would think that maybe that his discourse to them on love ought to stop right there. But it didn't. They were loving one another. But you notice what he says in the next verse? "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beg you, we beseech you, brethren, that you do what? Increase more and more." Paul was saying, you're loving. You're doing pretty good. But you can't love one another too much. You keep on loving. Let that love constantly grow for one another. That's an evidence of our Christian growth. But something else he said to them, he said that they were patient and faithful in spite of their tribulation. That's an evidence of Christian growth. When we are patient and faithful in spite of the troubles that we have in this life. Sometimes troubles will cause, I shouldn't say troubles cause, but people will let troubles cause. Will let trouble cause them to stop being faithful. They begin to question, why is this happening to me? Why me? But Paul had already told these Christians to expect this. And I guess they can be thankful, and we can be thankful that the Bible has told us that as we go through this life, trouble is going to come our way. So we ought to know what to expect. It ought to be a shock to us when all kinds of stuff start happening to us. God has already told us that it's going to happen. Paul had told these Christians that they were going to have these troubles and these tribulations. He said to them in that first letter again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1 beginning, and this is sort of lengthy, but bear with us. He says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We have an appointment with trouble. Isn't that amazing? We got an appointment with trouble. Verse number 4, he says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it has come. As it came to pass, and you know. Well, this calls, he says, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But look at what verse 6 says. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith, and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distressed by your faith. For now we live, you stand fast in the Lord. You know what Paul was saying? Paul said, we were concerned about you. It was sort of troubling us. Whether you want to let the afflictions that you were undergoing stop you from following the Lord. He said, but when Timothy came and told us the good things about you, we felt good. We didn't worry about you anymore. I want to say to us this morning that it's a good thing to know when people don't let trouble stop them from being faithful. Sometimes folks let trouble stop them from coming to church. They let trouble stop them from being, we talked about kindness yesterday. Let trouble stop them from being kind to folks. I'm having so many problems, I don't see folks today. Don't ever let trouble stop you from doing the right thing. These Christians stood tall in that regard. Why? I believe they stood tall because they were growing in their faith. How patient are you? And how patient am I when trouble come our way? Are we ready to throw in the towel? Are we going to stay in there, Brother James, because of the destination? We're going somewhere. We're on our way somewhere. But we'll never get to where we want to go unless we stay in there and remain faithful. I'm talking about evidence of our growth. As Christians, then, we are called upon to be patient. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10 teaches us this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me stop there. Just say this. Perhaps we already know it, but just to remind us that these Christians that Peter was writing to was going through trouble, suffering, and afflictions, being persecuted. And the devil, as I've already said, will use afflictions and troubles against us. So he's telling them to be steadfast. Be steadfast in resisting the devil. And don't think again that you're the only person going through it. Sometimes that gets us in trouble. We think that we're the only one having problems. Somebody else having some problems. As they used to say, and as they still say, all you need to do is go a little bit further down the street. Somebody having a little worse than you are. So Peter says, I know you're going through trouble. I know you're being persecuted. But you resist the devil. Don't let him use those persecutions and afflictions against you. You resist him steadfast. Then he goes on to say this in verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Our problem, many times, we can't get to the settling stage. We got to hang in there if we want to make it to the settling stage. Take a lesson from Job. When we think about our affliction, Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Then he said in Job 14:14, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? He says, all the days of my appointed time, I will what? I'll wait. He said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to wait. Till my change comes. If we hang in there, brothers and sisters, change is going to come. It ain't the change that Sam Cooke is talking about. It's a change from this life into that eternal life. We need to hang in there. I'm talking about evidence of our growth. These Christians, these Thessalonian Christians, they were willing to endure the suffering of their trial. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4 again says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you also suffer. You know what that say to me? I say that if I don't suffer some, I'm probably not going to be worthy of the kingdom of God. Don't we want to be worthy of the kingdom of God? So since we know suffering is going to come, let's be ready for it. And let's resist the devil and hang in there until the end, until we'll settle, until God says that's enough. You see, God has something better waiting for us. Again, it gets back to what the Hebrew writer said to these Hebrew Christians. He reminded them of something as they were ready to give up on their faith. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, he says this. He said, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great affliction, a great fight rather, of affliction. Otherwise, you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly why you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye ye have in heaven, a better and an enduring substance. Do we know that, brothers and sisters? We ought to know it. Last week I talked about we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we're saved. If we know that we got something better waiting for us in heaven, then we can put up with the stuff that we go through down here. We just got to wait for it to come. Again, Jesus says, be faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. How's your growth? Are you increasing in faith? Increasing in love? Even increasing in being patient? I would say then that we need to talk about heroes of faith. These Thessalonian Christians ought to be our heroes this morning as we continue that theme. They ought to be our heroes. They ought to be somebody that we can look to as an example to be steadfast and to continue to grow in our faith. How's your faith in this morning? Is it growing or is it stagnant? Allowing anything to cause you to lose your confidence in God? If that's the case, then I would suggest to us this morning that we need to feed more and more upon the Word of God and trust in the Word of God. These Thessalonian Christians, even though they were undergoing trials and tribulations, all commended